here. And I'm really excited to share it with you. It's just about, it's about the door of our heart. It's the one that Jesus knocked on and you heard his voice and you opened years ago. Or maybe it was yesterday. But hopefully it is wide open. Or maybe over the years the door's closed a little and the door's a bit more ajar. Or maybe you've never opened your heart to him before. But we're meant to live with our hearts wide open to our Creator. So I'm going to unpack that in a moment. But first, let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this word today. I thank you that our hearts will be open to receive your word. I thank you, God, that that you will speak, Lord God, that and that it is all of you, none of me. In Jesus' name, yeah. Amen.
Amen.
So, I was going to say as well that, like, I've been thinking so much about this that I've been in the shopping centre just looking at people. You know how you people watch sometimes?
Yeah.
And I've been sort of thinking about it a lot. So I've been wondering, you know, I wonder what their heart's like. I wonder if their hearts are open to God or wonder if they're closed. But I think what it is, it's an eternity mindset that we need to have. So first, I really love doors. And I said last year when I was doing communion, who loves doors? And no one put their hand up. And that's because, I love beautiful doors. So here's a picture of one of them. So that's kind of what I mean. When I go on holidays, I'll often stop and take photos of doors. Rick's often looking at architecture and gutters and roofs, and he loves drains. I don't know, we sort of like talk about all these different things, but I love doors. So there's another door picture. So that's another one, sort of door I like. It's got butterflies on it, that's why I picked that one. All right, so the world's largest door is the NASA Space Center. That's 139 meters high and takes 45 minutes to open.
Wow.
So that's a bit of trivial information for those who are wondering what the largest door in the world was. I think that's for the spaceships.
Yeah.
And I love this. I don't know if you knew that a lot of Irish doors are colourful, but this is thanks to an act of rebellion. When the Irish were ordered to paint their doors black when Queen Victoria died, they, in an act of defiance, they coloured their doors, they painted their doors in colours, which I thought was awesome. Which reminds me of when Rick and I bought our first house many, many years ago. The bank literally owned our whole house, but we were celebrating because we owned our door, which is great. There's something really special about red doors. Some doors speak of freedom. In Scotland, when someone paid off their home, they would paint their front door red. This is basically telling people that they're debt-free, which I think is amazing. And talk about freedom, the Hebrews' lives were spared because they sprinkled blood on their doorways. And this meant a lineage of families were saved all through the line. The act of faith by anointing their homes set them free. And also, in early American tradition, a door painted red was a sign to weary travellers that their home was a safe and welcoming place to rest. It would cut out the guessing game, so they'd arrive in their horse and buggy in the driveway and know they had a bed for the night. I think this would be really good if we all did this, you know, like in our communities and painted our door red, and then, you know, then people would always have somewhere to stay. So I think that's great, we could start that. anyway, some doors you can't see for looking because they're glass. I've banged into and slid down many. Does anyone else do things like that?
No.
Yep, got a few this time. So it's kind of like one of those you have to be there moments, but about 10 years ago on a mother-daughter trip Rach and I had, she was so excited to see the view of the resort pool that we got in our room and she ran straight through the lounge to go look at the pool, smack bang into the giant glass sliding door that she didn't see. She hit it so hard she fell backwards on the floor and the whole door came off its hinges and landed on top of her. So when we put it back, you could even see the imprint of her face on the glass if she hit it that hard. So I'm sure we've all got stories like that. She's in the mother's room going, yes! I've got a lot more stories than I'm going to tell them. Oh, I do have one more I'll tell you in a minute. But there's also some famous doors. See if you can recognise them. This is 10 Downing Street. I put that in because Rick said, you've got to put 10 Downing Street in. It's really important. It is. Okay, the next one. The good old Hobbit's door, Lord of the Rings. And the next one. I love The Truman Show. If you haven't seen it, it's a great movie. And I love how he crosses the pretend ocean and he walks up the stairs and he opens the door to reality. Okay, next one. Narnia. Yes, love the Narnia series and the wardrobe doors. And the last one? Boo's door. So this is Boo's door. We love monsters. So what all these doors have in common is they're a gateway between two worlds. Once you have access to them, you step into a new reality. So the door of our heart is not as famous as these other doors, but the miracle is that Jesus knows everyone because he made it. Yeah. Psalm 139 says he fashioned you in secret, that your frame was not hidden from him, and he knew you were when you were intrinsically formed, and that one day he would knock on it. And his greatest desire is that you would say, yes, I hear you, Jesus. Please come in. Revelation 3:20 says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. This verse is so powerful, and I'm going to break it down a little bit. So firstly, the doorknob is on our side. He knocks on the door, and he knocks, and often he'll knock for a long time. And I see him knocking and not just walking away, but like leaning on the door, waiting. And maybe on the other hand, he's got a torch. And like on the other side, you can see light streaming in. But it's up to us to open up that door. Because Jesus is a gentleman. He won't force his way into our lives. He waits to be invited in. Another translation says, I will come in and I'll restore him. Church, he is longing to restore whatever's been broken. Wow. When you welcome him in, he promises to bring restoration, healing, and wholeness. Yeah, yeah. I love the meaning of friends. In Hebrew, it's pronounced tshava, meaning connection. And one definition of friendship is loyalty. Yeah. When you open the door of your heart to Jesus, you're bringing heaven to earth. You're saying yes to eternity with Jesus, the one who loves you and desperately longs for a connection and friendship with you. I remember when I was about 16 and a new Christian, and I went to a Youth Alive rally, and one leader gave me he gave me a green bookmark. And I took it home and I put it on my bedroom door, and it stayed there for about a year. And it said, come to Jesus. He will fulfill the deepest desire of your heart. And every time I opened my door that year, I read it. And it stuck a little bit more in my head and my heart. And I think because my heart was just so open to God, that's why it's become my favourite verse, because it actually was a paraphrased Bible verse. And my room became a place where Jesus resided, and it mirrored the state of my heart. The verse was Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. So there's some things we don't want in the room with us. So I'm going to tell you a story. Some people know this about me, a lot of you don't, but I can be slightly accident prone. I do have a few stories, but I thought I'd share this one because it's relevant. And it's all about what went wrong on the morning of my second job interview for the job I have now as a medical receptionist. So our 20-year-old cat had been dying for weeks, and it all culminated on this one morning where we realised that we'd have to get it put down after my interview. So I already had puffy eyes from crying and saying farewell to my cat. So because of everything going on, I forgot to organise the good car. So I had to take the old borrowed car that we had in our driveway. So I had to take that in the interview. And then on the way, I realised I didn't have much petrol. So I thought, I've got time. So that was my first mistake. So I proceeded to fill up the car with petrol. But I put it down to the fact that I wasn't used to the car, but I think it could be me. I couldn't get the petrol pump out of the car nozzle, so I ended up like wrestling with it, but it was too late and I was pressing on it and all the petrol shot out onto my legs and down my shoes and I got covered in petrol. And this is 5 minutes before my job interview. So then I was in a dilemma, bit of a pickle, because I thought, what do I do? Do I go to an op shop within 5 minutes and find a new outfit? Or do I ring up and say, I'm so sorry, I can't come, I'm covered in petrol? Or do I go? So I took the third option and I went. And then I had to sit in the waiting room for half an hour, and I had to endure one of the doctors, mid-patient, walking out the door and saying to everyone in the waiting room, does anyone smell petrol? And then I heard the medical receptionist whispering, do you smell petrol? So I finally went up to the desk and said, I am so sorry, but I'm the one that smells of petrol. I should go. And they said, no, it's fine. I ended up sitting in a corner away from people, just like sitting there, felt like a leper. Anyway, so when my future boss finally arrived, I was ushered into the smallest interview room you could imagine. And so I had to say to her, look, I'm really sorry, but I stink of petrol. I think we both need to leave the, we need to leave the door open or we're both going to suffocate. So then I spent the rest of the interview apologising and she spent it laughing and I got the job. It's a long story. The reason I'm telling this story is there's people who close the doors on the things that in their life that absolutely stink. And if you leave them there too long, you will suffocate. They need to be thrown out of the room. So what are some of these things? It could be negative belief systems, just what we're thinking, you know, behind closed doors and, you know, it's all going on in your mind. But these things are really important. What you think about defines who you are. It causes you to take action and it directs your life. So it's so important to think about what we're thinking about and throw out the wrong things out the door. What it could be wrong, relationships, that's between you and the Holy Spirit. You could have dabbled in the occult or witchcraft years ago, but that's something that really needs to be addressed and thrown out the door. Yeah. It could be too much Netflix. It could be too much anything. It could be too much ice cream. Or maybe it's a vice, something that you know between you and the Holy Spirit that you need to say no to. It's never too late to say no to the ugly rug that's in the room that needs to be turfed out. Same as those things in our life the Holy Spirit nudges us about. With his strength and conviction, you can do it. Psalm 84 verse 10 says, I have chosen to stand at the door in the house of my God rather than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Church, it's a choice to say no, to not allow these things in our life. Just as it's a choice to stand, even if you're standing alone. Which brings me to my first point. Who's knocking on your door? I knock on my boy's door a lot before I go in, or most of the time I do. I didn't even realise I do, I just do. And they know it's my voice, and I wait for a yeah or a yep. I don't usually get a no, sometimes I do. But then I wait for them to give me access. And it's funny because it's actually our room, and you know we've given that room to them, but we still wait for them to say yes. Have you heard of the term access denied? Jesus won't cross the threshold into our heart, our spirit, or our life until we first give him access. John 1:10 to 12 says, he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed and accepted him, he gave the right or the access to become children of God. Can you imagine if your own children didn't recognize your voice? If you knocked on the door of your own home, and they didn't hear you. If they said, I don't know you, I don't see you, I don't hear you. Can you imagine how you'd feel if they didn't recognise you? But Jesus keeps knocking. For everyone in our community, he keeps knocking. For your family, the ones that don't know him yet, he keeps knocking. The random person you talk to down the street, he keeps knocking. Christ, the Son of God, knocks on the doors of each of our hearts, waiting to be heard. And he is continually knocking on the closed man's heart, waiting for a yes. But some say yes, and then they push Jesus back out the door. Matthew 13:21 says, but it, the seed of truth, does not go down deep in his heart. He believes it for a short time, but when trouble or hard times come because of the message, he stops believing. This is such a tragedy, to accept Jesus, to accept life and eternal life, and then reject it. Church, don't ever be this person. Make a decision that for the rest of your life, he will be your companion, that nothing will shake your faith. I made a decision so many years ago as a Christian that nothing would derail me, that nothing would stop me from following God and staying on the path of life that leads to eternity. And we need to make that our default. It doesn't matter what happens. When storms come our way, that's when we need Jesus the most. We don't point our finger at God and say, you did this to me. I don't understand it when people do that. And I think we just need to decide. He is with us. He is in our hearts and our lives. And he's going to stay there forever. And then just, that's it. One of my favourite authors at the moment is Brendan Manning. He has written a great book called The Ragamuffin Gospel, which I'm loving at the moment. And so he's got a great quote that says, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and then walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. This is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. We need to let the church be proclaimed by how we live our life, because an unbelieving world is watching. Next point is the door is open, but no one's home. It's talking about the door being almost closed. Have you heard of the term sitting on the fence? This verse comes to mind when I think of this. In Revelation 3, 16 to 18, talking about the lukewarm church, says, "So I will spit you out of my mouth because you are only warm and not hot or cold." It's harsh, but we don't belong on the fence. When you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to the truth. You said yes to his word and his thoughts. His message became your message. He wants to spend time with us because he wants his thoughts to become our thoughts. John 5:38 says, "And you have not his word or his thought living in your hearts because you don't believe, adhere, trust in and rely on him." But I'd like to flip this verse around and make this a scripture that we hold on to, which is you have his word and thought living in your heart because you believe, adhere to, trust in and rely on him. When you spend some time with someone and they live in the same room with you, you definitely get to recognize their voice. I know it's hard to believe, but I'm married to someone who really loves lots of noise. He loves talking. He loves the lights on, even when it's nighttime. He loves music on. He just loves lots of noise, which is great. But I do have a coping mechanism that blocks out the light and the noise, and that's my trusty headphones and my eye shades, which often help. And I think he still thinks I look attractive in them, don't you?
Yeah.
I was going to put them on, but I thought I'm going to knock my teeth out with my microphone. I can't do it. Anyway, so this is what we do to Jesus. He says, "Come in and dine with me." But we block out the light, his light and his voice with our coping mechanisms.
Wow.
Jesus can hardly move around the room because we've got TVs and technology and maybe holiday luggage, sports equipment, all sorts of things that distract us. I think it's all about our motives. Why are we doing them? Are we running or are we trying to cram our lives with so much stuff that we don't have to face Jesus and face what's going on deep in our heart? It's all about our heart motive.
Yeah.
To be face to face with you and sharing a meal together as friends isn't one person sitting at the table with their meal waiting while you sit facing a screen with your headphones on or blocking him out with your eye shades. Sam Chan says, "Distractions rob us of joy, meaning, drive, and love. Temporary avoidance may be better than the pain we're suffering, but we pay a steep price for diversions. We go through the motions, but our hearts are far, far away. And we live in a society where many have closed their hearts to God." Matthew 13:15 is part prophetic for the age we live in now. It says, "For the heart of this people have grown dull, and their ears are sluggish in hearing, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn back, and I would heal them. But, City Point North, I'm declaring this over you. Blessed, spiritually aware, and favoured by God are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear." So our last point is open up the doors. I love this. I love that we need to open up the windows and lift up the shades. Rick often comes home and asks us why the doors aren't open because he loves the doors open. And I often forget that we even need to open up the doors so they're closed. So Rick will say things like, "Open up the doors, Daniel. Jaden, open up the windows and all the, what are the doors we have? We've got these French doors. Any of the doors, open them up. We need airflow, people. Jen, how are you breathing in this stuffy house?" It's like if the doors aren't open, there's no oxygen. But yeah, it's because he loves the doors open, which is great. We need to be a doors open wide person. We need to say yes to Jesus. When we say yes to Jesus, we invite the word into our lives. And he is the air we breathe. Because the word of God lives in you and me. So what happens after we open up the door? Does he come in and start rearranging the furniture or pointing out our dirty laundry? Some don't open the door for fear that Jesus will condemn us for the sin in our lives. However, the Bible says this isn't true. Jesus has come for relationship. He doesn't force his way in or arrive in order to condemn us. Jesus knocks on the door of our heart in order to present the gift of himself so that through him we may become his children. John 3:17 says, "God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to put the world right again." So one of my favourite people in the Bible is Moses. He was a leader that opened the door wide open to God. Bible says that God spoke with Moses face to face, just like a man would speak with his friend. And this is the kind of intimacy that we can have too with God. Moses took the time to seek God with all of his heart. And this is big, and victorious people in the Bible learned how to overcome their worry and pray instead. I love the story in Numbers 21 that talks about the Israelites who were dying in large numbers because a plague of snakes were biting them because of their sin and complaining. Now, I don't think I could think of much worse than a plague of snakes actually chasing me. That's actually the stuff of nightmares. So anyway, so I think that's a huge deal and that's a terrible plague. And Moses had to do something about them because these are his people, the people that he loved. So he prayed. He turned his attention immediately to God. I love that. Not to himself or anyone else. Moses sought God about how to handle the snakes. He didn't make his own plan and ask God to bless it. He didn't try to reason an answer or to worry. His prayers brought a response from God. So God told Moses to make a bronze serpent and set it up on a pole in front of all the people. And every snake-bitten person who looked up at it would live. Wow. So church, we need to look up. This is a representation of Jesus who was lifted up on the cross in order that everyone who looks up at him and believes would not perish but have eternal life. The message is the same today as it was then, to look up and live. And it's also the message of grace, because as we look up, we're astonished to see the eyes of Jesus, open with wonder, deep with understanding, and gentle with compassion, because that's who he is. I love in Ephesians 3, 17 and 19, it's one of my favourite verses as well, even though I've got so many favourite verses, but it's definitely one of them. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Another translation says, and make his permanent home in your hearts through faith, that you, being grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up in all the fullness of God. So when you open up the door to Jesus, you honour God with your whole life. And that includes everything. It includes sexual purity, what is going on in through your eyes, your ears, your mind, and your heart. Because these are all doors that we need to honour God with and be mindful that he is with us.
Yeah, come on.
The wonderful thing is that Jesus promises to never leave us when we open the door and allow him entrance into our lives. He's given us an amazing promise that says, I will never leave you. And it says, under any circumstances. That means any circumstances. I will never desert you, nor give you up, or leave you without support. Nor will I in any degree leave you helpless. Nor will I forsake you or let you down or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Because Jesus calls himself the door. In fact, there's no other door through which we can receive salvation or eternal life. John 10 says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So church, as I finish, just think about what's going on in your heart. Think about how wide is your door? Is it wide open to God and his word and everything that pertains to life and godliness? Or has it closed a little over the years through hurt, through pain, through questioning? Has it started to close? Or is your door closed? This is a time to think about our hearts, because God looks at our hearts first. He looks at our heart motives and he knows the deepest desires of our hearts. Now widen your focus and think about the hearts of men, the hearts of our community who just need to hear Jesus knocking. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for everyone here, Lord. I thank you for your word, and I thank you, God, that our hearts will be wide open to you always. I thank you, God, that you've given us everything we need, Lord God, that you've given us access to heaven. And I just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your word today. Amen.
Awesome. Come on, that's awesome, hey? What a great word. In this moment, I'd love you to just bow your head and close your eyes as we do some business with God. And, you know, this is important, because sometimes we didn't even know that that door was slowly closing. Things happen in our world and don't always go according to plan. And, you know, once we found ourselves quite open, but time and tragedy sometimes and unforeseen circumstances and hurt and heartache can slowly end up closing that door. And for some of us, we didn't even realize it till we sat here this morning and we're going, whoa, I didn't even realize, but my door had gotten a little bit closed and here I am in this house and I can sense it. I don't know if it's God or if it's me, but I just have this sense in my heart that my heart is not as open as it used to be. Perhaps not to other people, maybe not even to God. Horizontal, vertical. There's some closed hearts. I don't know where everybody is in their walk with God today, but one thing that I do know is Jesus is here. And just like Pastor Jen said, he said, I didn't go to all the trouble of coming just to point a finger at you, tell you what you did. He said, no, I love you far too much for that. I've come to walk with you, no matter how long, no matter how difficult. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to stand right beside you so that you can live the best life that you could possibly ever live. That I can unlock to you the gifts and the talents that I placed on the inside of you when I made you. Because whether you realize it or not, you're actually made in my image. The diverse nature that you have has been given to you by God, and that's such a wonderful thing to be celebrated. And he wants you to live free from having to close all those things down. Free from that condemnation. Free from that shame. Free from that hurt. Free from that insecurity. Whatever it is that's kept you bound today. So as we close our eyes and bow our heads in this place, maybe God's been speaking to you, and for the very first time, you want to open up your heart to receive him as your Lord and Savior. I'd love you to do something in just a minute. We're going to pray together right where you are. I'm going to agree with you, and I'd love you to lift your hand up. And maybe in this place, you've prayed that prayer multiple times, but God has been speaking to you today, and you go, man, I don't know how it happened, but my heart got a little bit hard, and my door got a little bit closed. And so today, I know I need to open that door again, and this is my moment. Hey, Rick, would you pray for me today? And I would love the opportunity to be able to do that. So if that is you today, I'd love you to do something bold. Just between you, me, and God, I'd love you to lift your hand. I'll see it. You can put it back down in this place if you're ready to make that decision for Jesus Christ. God bless you. See that hand? That's awesome. So cool. Who else this morning? I'm in this place. I had time to open up. God bless you. I see that hand. That's so good. That's fantastic. Anybody else in the house? Yeah, come on. God is speaking to you. I know I need to do my business with God. I need to soften my heart to him. God, I don't want to miss this opportunity right now. As I look across one more time, I don't want to miss it if God has been speaking to you. God bless you up the back there. That is so good. So good. So good. So good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's pray together. Father, across this auditorium, you see the hands that went up. Far, far greater than that. You saw the hearts that opened up. We don't want to be hard-hearted. We don't want to close our doors to the very one who made it. So, Lord, today, we ask that you forgive us first for closing that door. Don't know how it happened. Or maybe we do, but we know we shouldn't have. And so today we choose to open it wide and we invite you in. Come. Come, Lord Jesus, into our heart, into our lives. Come, walk with us. Help us get to know you again. Help us connect with you again. Help us walk with you again. Help us do this life together. Help us to build a good relationship. Not just to know about you in our head, but to have a relationship with you in our heart. We invite you and we ask you to come as we surrender our heart and our life to you in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Can we celebrate together today? Is that okay? It's awesome.